And Natalie's mother, and all the rest of us' mother. So you can blame her for all the bad things you've seen in us.
Yes, she's in trouble.
Pretty much.
Hey, would you lead us in prayer, Rebecca, too?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Is we ready? Ready? That's terrible thing to say. Yeah. Thank you for bringing us all here tonight safely. Not that it matters to have awesome food, but it is nice. We appreciate that, and all the people that put their hard work into it. Lord, I ask that you would open up our hearts tonight to hear from you in worship and in your word, and that we would enjoy the fellowship that you've given us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thou hast put off my sackcloth. Thou hast heard my mourning.
Okay, two more. One we don't have on there, okay? Unto thee, O Lord.
Unto thee, O Lord.
Do I lift up my voice?
Do I lift up my voice?
Unto thee, O Lord.
Unto thee, O Lord.
Do I lift up my voice?
Do I lift up my voice?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I trust in thee.
I trust in thee.
Let me not be ashamed, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Unto thee, O Lord.
Do I lift up my soul?
Do I lift up my soul?
Unto thee, O Lord.
Unto thee, O Lord.
Do I lift up my soul?
Do I lift up my soul?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I trust in thee.
I trust in thee.
Let me not be ashamed, or let my enemies triumph over me. Okay, the last one.
Very nice.
Sing alleluia to the Lord.
Sing alleluia to the Lord.
Sing alleluia to the Lord.
Sing alleluia.
Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia to the Lord.
So shy. So shy. And have to do that. Today.
Elijah, would you hand out Bibles? Anybody needs one?
And if you need a Bible, Hezekiah and Joe and is going to pass them out if you need to. And Elijah, they didn't know that, but they volunteered.
Oh, that's so cool. I love volunteering.
I'll volunteer.
Mama.
Round up to hers. Yeah, well, let's save all the sheet music. That would be awesome. Everyone have a Bible?
Karen, what'd you do with your shoes?
Yep. All righty. Thank you, Rebecca. Tell your mom she can come back every Thursday.
She might just do that.
Careful.
Oh, God, she's great.
Don't say I love her spunk. I love her spunk.
I do. I like her spunk.
I like her spunk, too.
Yay, I will back.
All right, let's round it up. Pastor Darren told me that I can speak for a couple of hours.
Sweet.
A little bit shorter than he does. And the topic that I kind of felt led by the Lord to do is a very complex, very lengthy. And I only got about 300 verses to go through, so it shouldn't be that long. But we want to pray for a sister of our fellowship who is struggling, Chantel. I think I'm saying that correctly.
Chantel.
Okay. I'm not sure of all the particulars, but maybe Pastor Darren and Ken fill us in and how we can pray. What? Her kidneys are failing.
Oh, no. Is that why she was in the hospital before?
There's a lot of other things.
No problem.
As well.
She almost died like a few weeks ago.
Yes, yeah. She did. She's got a lot of things that are wrong.
She needs prayer. I really want to go see her. She's hoping someone from the church will go and let her know that we're
thinking about it. They are.
Yeah.
They do.
Blake Memorial.
Do you need a ride to get them?
No, no.
Okay, so you're going to go see her.
Yeah.
Good. I'm saying, if not, we can go together.
You want to lead us, Debbie Jo?
Yeah. Her? Would you?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you so much, Lord, for the time we have spent here, God. Lord, we just want to lift up our sister in Christ, Chantel. Lord, she's had a long, long journey of illness over the past few years.
Because I can't.
And now she is in the hospital, God, and we just pray that you would just ease her pain. She wouldn't have to suffer too much, God. A miracle, if it be thy will, be performed, God, that you be well and be able to come back and be with us a little longer, God. You never know what life can bring us. We live in sin, God. We do know that you welcome us back into the fold, God. The kids back, Lord, when they cry out. So, Chantel, give them life to you, God. And I just pray, Lord, you can open pearl gates. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, as we, our future preacher, as we come, Father, to open up our hearts, and we first give you thanks and praise, Father, for the food and for those who prepared it for Mike and for his faithfulness in serving you. And Father, for just loving us and providing so much for us each day. We can go on thanking you and praising you all night because you are worthy of our praise. And Father, we just want to give honor to you tonight as we spend a little time focusing on you. Focusing on the things that are important for us to understand and to learn about you. And so, Father, as we just touch on the subject of your will and sovereignty over all things, help us to leave this place tonight, Father, just seeing you brighter than we ever did before. That your Shekinah glory would come and fill this place and fill our heart so that we can be your light and salt in this world. So, Father, as we go through the same pain and suffering as non-believers, Lord, that we can share to them the hope that we have in us. And so, Lord, help me to communicate that. Father, just being up here just scares the living daylights out of me. But Father, I just love you and trust you, and I ask that your words would come forth from my mouth, Father, that would please you, and that would demonstrate your heart to your people, to my brothers and sisters, and all God's children said,
Amen. Amen.
Sovereignty of God is something that, and the will of God, and man's free will, you know, trying to reconcile. But one of the things that just led to my heart to share is on how God's providential care and sovereignty over not only our lives, but all of creation, all the events that are happening, even in our election that just happened. And we need to be praying, whoever it was that got in, we need, as Christians, our God's will is that we would pray for them. Pray for governing authorities over us. And so, but I want to just start off with just a little bit of understanding that God, what's God's heart? God's heart that none would perish, that would all come to repentance. Okay, and for us is to recognize things are going to happen in this world that we may not understand. And God may instruct us to do things. And do you ever know of a prophet in the Bible that refused to do God's will?
Oh, yeah.
Give me one.
Jonah.
Oh, let's talk about that. Now, what was God's heart for the city of Nineveh?
They would repent.
What was the heart of his prophet?
He wanted to run away.
Not only run away, but he hated them.
He wanted fire to come down and
destroy them.
Like the sons of thunder, right? Lord, shh. Come down. No. But God's heart was that this wicked, wicked city of Assyria that would be, the nation of Assyria would be, Jonah wanted it destroyed. He wanted to wipe out. They were enemies of Israel. And so what did Jonah do?
He ran away.
He ran away. And how far did he get? What did God have to do to get Jonah's attention?
Giant storm.
Brought a storm, brought a specific fish just for Jonah. And so a lot of times when we know God has called us to do something, whether to a people or even to a job, sometimes we can get harassed and people will be nasty at us. And we say, I don't want to preach them. Maybe hell, but not the love of God and the grace of God on people's lives. But like Jonah, he had to come to learn that God is in control and that nothing that we can do can hinder God's plan for our lives and for other people's lives. And I came across a story about God's providential care during World War II. You ever hear of a guy named Paul Harvey?
Yeah.
And the rest of the story. It was about allies being held prisoner in Japan. And these B-52s were going on a mission to bomb a city called, where is it? Kakura, Japan. And so as they're flying out, that was their number one target because there was a lot of ammunition. The intelligence said, we need to get this place off. It was a big danger. But there was a cloud cover all over. And they flew around for a whole hour. And they were just getting to a dangerous point of no return. So they went to their second plan. And it was a crystal clear sky. And all of a sudden, I let everything go and just totally wiped out that whole area. But about a week or two later, they got an intelligence report that there was thousands upon thousands of American prisoners, which a lot of them were Christians, were moved to, guess where? Kokura. And so if that cloud cover wasn't over there, what would have happened? Probably wiped out a lot of our own soldiers and Christians. But I just wonder, is it very possible that God, people praying, and there was a cloud cover so God's people would not be lost? God's providential care and protecting. So what is the will of God for our life? Anybody have any ideas what's some of the areas of God's will that he has for our lives?
Yeah.
him from the image of his son.
What's that?
To be changed the image of Jesus, to become Christ's representative on the earth.
To disciple others.
To disciple others? Anything else? Like I said, I have a whole lot of verses, but I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And someone read for me verses 1 through 8. That would be awesome. As someone's navigating to there and we get a volunteer, one of my favorite verses, and I never forget where it is because years ago the speed limit was 55, and I always used to go to 8 to 10 miles faster than that. And so it's in Isaiah 55, 8, when it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine." This is the New Living Translation. "For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from heaven and stays on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry." I like that too. Bread for the hungry. God's providing even for the unrighteous. "This is the same with my word. I send it out, and it will always produce fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper wherever I send it." And so one of the blessings of God's word, if we know what his ways and his thoughts, and sometimes they're beyond, but if we bring God's word to people with the intention of salvation or whatever it is, and disciple, God promises that his word will not return void, but accomplish its purpose. And for us as Christians, we're called not to make get people saved. We're called to, like who said before?
Disciple.
Make disciples. And what is a disciple? That's God's will, we make disciples. Well, what is it? What is a disciple? Following, basically teaching him how to follow Jesus. And it may be for those who maybe had drug addicts, maybe have issues of alcoholism or bad parenting or whatever it may be. Our goal as brothers and sisters in God's will is to disciple one another. In an area like this, I love our format where we can talk back and forth to each other. It's just not one person, but in small groups. I like the word counseling, but I like the word discipleship better because it is following Jesus. Okay, who's going to read for me?
What was it again? 1 Thessalonians?
1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. Pastor, are you going
to
do that?
I'll be happy if you want.
Please, thank you.
"Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that's holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit."
So one of the first areas of God's will is for what? Here we see. To sanctify. What does sanctify mean? Sanctification.
Like
set apart. Okay. And it's very good. Anything else? What? Clean up. You know, I equate it is, you know, we got a school here. We go from kindergarten to 12th grade. So our sanctification is we all come to Christ and we're just little, maybe sometimes in diapers, like this preschooler. But as we continue to grow, go to kindergarten, to first grade, to second grade, third grade, and on, things we begin to learn more and more. We add to that from kindergarten, and so we're continuing to grow and set apart more and more in our understanding of just knowledge. Okay? And that's like our sanctification, is that we are to grow spiritually. It's like grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not knowledge, but grace and knowledge. And so a lot of times we'll come to a gathering and we want just that intellectual knowledge. And I'll tell you why. You can ask Pastor Darren. In my earlier years, that knowledge really made me what? Puffed up. But what? Love what? And so the grace of God manifesting in our life will always produce that love for one another. To bear each other's burden at times. Because sometimes life had their backpacks, you know, they just get heavier and heavier. And we come along, like I'll give you last week. I was walking here, my car broke down, and I had about a 25-pound backpack. And who comes along? He picked me up, Pastor Darren. He took that backpack, and boy, I felt so light. And that's where we are. As we're walking, it was hot, and my feet were getting tired, but he took that backpack off, and I was able to kind of get a little spring in my life. And so we help each other in times like that. It helped to set us apart to grow in what? What areas can we grow in our sanctification?
Humility.
Ooh. Anything else?
Patience.
Patience. Now we talked about fruit. What's other types of fruit? Love.
Joy.
So we're going to get to that in a minute. Good. Nehemiah.
Peace.
Shalom. Anything else?
Self-control.
You know, I wonder why they put it last. Maybe when we get to college or PhD level, we'll finally learn self-control. Anything
good
else?
Luck.
What?
I said good luck.
Good luck? Is good luck in there? Being a school teacher and working with middle school and high schoolers, God's teaching me patience. I'm a slow learner, but God is teaching me. Yes. Goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Kindness.
Thankfulness.
Gentleness. Faithfulness. Do I have faithfulness?
Yes.
Anything else?
Thankfulness.
What?
Thankfulness.
Oh, that's another one. Whoa. Ka-ching. So in our sanctification, we should be continually growing in the grace and knowledge. This is God's will. Not just, I mean, it's good to have good sound doctrine. And a lot of people will go to Bible college and seminary school. And they'll get all this knowledge. But the heart. We need to grow in it. It's a command, but it's grace first. Because we're undeserving of God's grace, but he gives it to us so that we can help and minister to one another.
Sanctification is a long life process.
Bingo! Now, when do we fully get to that place of...
When we need Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you,
sister.
So, we see this first area is to grow, but I like here... to sanctify, but we have to abstain. We have to keep our bodies. Not, yeah, it's talking about sexual immorality. But there's other body lusts that we have, don't we? Yeah. Let's broaden that context. What's some of those other things that will make us impure?
Money. Free for
money. Ooh.
Yeah.
Money is free.
Is it bad to have money?
No.
It's the love of it.
How bad you want.
Yeah. And some people will go to the ends of the earth to get it and step on whoever they want if they're in their way. What else are some of the body appetites that hunger and crave and war against the spirit?
To be served.
What's that?
To to be served.
So was Jesus that big example of, hey, I'm God, come to me? What did he do? He was teaching these 12 people, even Judas, who was going to crucify him, who was going to turn him in. What did he do? He got down and he washed his feet. And he loved all of them to the end. And why did he do that? He did it as an example.
Getting your feet washed feels really, really, really good.
What does that do?
Maybe Joe will show us next Sunday.
That's right. We're going to have a foot washing. The Debbie Joe hour.
Don't you,
Joe,
you might die.
Feet washed by another person.
Humbling.
You know how that feels. You ever hear that church in Albany that did Facing the Giant and Fireproof and other movies? There was in Georgia, it's a little town called Albany, or Albany they call it. They had, it's really in the deep south, very prejudiced. The black, it was just over generations and generations. Of course, we know Georgia was a big slave state. That church started a prayer ministry. And one of the first things they realized that if God was going to do something in their community, it had to be done with prayer. And they got all the leaders. These are all the leaders. They got before the face of God and started praying. And all of a sudden, God started knocking on those leaders to go over to that black church and go in there and wash every single foot. He says, if you want me to work, we got to bring reconciliation. And you got to humble yourself. And they did, and brought restoration and healing. And that's what it does. It humbles us. I know Pastor Chuck, when he started the movement of Calvary Chapel, there was a young guy named Greg Laurie. All he did was sweep pepper leaves and stuff. And now he's at 19, he started a church in Riverside. Just humble beginnings. Humble beginnings, willing to serve, do whatever it is to honor Jesus. And God began to work in that young man, and a big evangelist today. But God's will is that we sanctify from the passions of our lust. Let's go and touch on chapter 5. Let's go over one page. Chapter 5, verses 12 through 24. Who else will read that for me? Let's find another area of God's will. Chris, go ahead.
And we beseech you, brother, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men.
Okay. What does it say? Next, Chris.
Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil.
And so we see here rejoicing. Always. Now there's some times in our lives we don't want to rejoice. Pray without ceasing. In everything. Is that everything or something? You have something? Something's in there? Give what? Thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For everyone else, but not me. It says you, not me. No, it's for all of us. Giving thanks. And I like that song, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because of what Jesus has done. And I'll be thankful. I'll be thankful only in those times that are really good. How about the times when I'm not so good? Like this present election. I wonder if there's a whole lot of people that are thankful. Actually, more than half our nation is probably not thankful. I wonder how many Christians are on that end that are bitter and angry and ungrateful and not praying and rejoicing and praying for this man that has gotten office. He's a loose cannon. But the only thing we can do is to be thankful. Lord, use this man. Save him if he's not saved. Use Vice President Pence, who loves you. Use him to give godly counsel and wisdom. Surround him with godly influence. That's where we are. To be thankful that there is light there. Instead of looking at all the negatives, and we could spend a lifetime and look at some of the positive things that are around him and watch God save and watch God move. And so we got to be grateful and thankful and joyful for even if Hillary did get it. Our goal is to pray for her. Pray that God would extend mercy and move like he did in Nineveh. 30 days. He said 30 days or 40 days? Short time. Turn or burn. And what did God do? The king, the leader. And all of a sudden, the people followed. And God extended mercy and grace. And, well, it only lasted 100 years. But did God did spare them? Because, not because of Jonah, but because of God's love for the lost. And we are continuing to be thankful and grateful. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at another area. Before I get to the area of how we can have victory, how can we attain this will of God in our life? Chapter 7, verse 21. My dentures are loose. So, thank you. If they fall, someone pick them up. They got a gold tooth in it. I'm sure that a lot of people will be scrambling. Who's going to pray? What's that?
I thought I was going to read.
Okay, you can read. Go ahead. I want you to read from 21 to 27. Okay, we can stop right there. Okay.
How old is he?
Good reader.
Very good. He's one of our students here.
Good job, buddy.
Commercial writing.
So what is God's will? You know, God said a lot of people are going to come to me in that day. What does it mean? But those who do the will of the Father. Anybody?
The end of the 23rd says, depart from me all you deprived of lawlessness or work unrighteousness. So obviously that has to do with doing righteousness.
But they call him what? Lord. Master. But you know, in context, you know, one of the things of learning about different type of narrative or different type of literature, we see the first four chapters, it's just narrative events that happen, stories. But here, this is the first teaching. And for the next three chapters, he goes on to teach what the kingdom. And I think, Pastor Dan, are you still doing the attitude that we need to be at? Okay, the beatitude. I think John Carson calls it the constitution of God. You know? But we see here some of the things in here. What is the will of God? To seek him? To keep on knocking? Keep on asking him? How we judge? Do we judge properly? Do we really worry or be anxious about a whole lot of things? Talk about storing up our churches here on earth? Or are we trying to build it up for the kingdom's sake? How about praying and fasting? How about loving our enemy? Well, we have problems loving one another. And God's saying, love our enemy. This is the will of God, our Father. He loves the whole world. How about one of the things that convicted me years ago is that what about making oaths? Now, I know we're not under the law and this and that, but God takes what we say. If we're going to commit to something, it's either yes or no. And so I've learned that I'm always doing things. And sometimes my calendar gets messed up, and I have made a commitment. And one time I made a commitment to work at the church. I think it was with the youth. But then I got an offer the same day to go teach somewhere. And I took it. And so the Lord said, Tom, you have to go and be with this youth. I said, well, Lord, I can do a lot more. He said, no, you made a commitment. Fulfill it. Break that other one. But, no, go fulfill it. I was more blessed to be with that youth. And I just, when I make my promise, I say, yes, I'm going to fulfill it. Even if something better or greater. Now, this is my conviction that the Lord, so I won't lay it on any. But when I make a promise to someone, I do the best and all that God would clear out everything, that I would do better making a calendar for him so I don't mess up. And I do about 25% of the fruit. No, about 85, 95%. But when you're busy serving, sometimes we'll get overextended. And we can't. We got to say, okay, Lord, help me to be more organized because I want to serve you. I want to be used by you. I want to please the Father, even if it's a bunch of high schools. And all it was the kids were sleeping over. And I was being basically a babysitter and doing morning devotion. But yet, I could have went over to this other church and spoke to several hundred men. And so I got blessed because I did what God told me. I made a promise and I fulfilled it. How about being salt and light? How are we going to accomplish this so much? How can we be joyful all the time? How can we be thankful? How can we continue to pray for people and be available to seek the lost? Because God's heart, everyone wants to be saved. That's what he wants. But we know that's not, but our responsibility is to go. And so I think I found the answer on how we are to accomplish that. Let's go. I'm not going to do an extensive job because I know Pastor will be there soon. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verses.
Hey,
the truth.
Speak the truth.
Wait, did we come?
All my sense. Keep the truth in love.
Did we talk about a verse about esteeming our leaders, Pastor?
No.
Oh,
that's not a will,
somebody knew, read verses 1 and 2. I think here is the key. Yeah. This will help us in achieving what God's will is for us.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Therefore, what do you think therefore is therefore? Say that three times. Really? Why do you think therefore is therefore? Starting off a new section here.
It reverts back to...
Ooh. I think there's 315 verses that we can go back and learn about. We got some good, solid teaching. Now we're getting into practical. How do we apply the gap, Pastor?
No, I was just thinking, and maybe if you don't want me to say this, and I might be just like spilling the beans before Ansel, you can cut me off.
No.
But, you know, I just, I don't know if I just didn't notice it or just really struck me tonight more than that, but as Debbie Jo was reading that, you know, it talks about don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed and renewing your mind. Then you know what. Then be able to test and approve what God's will is. And you know, so many people are looking for God's will, but they're not willing to offer their bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. They're not willing to conform, to be transformed. Mm-hmm. So they're struggling in this life because they can't figure out what God's will is, and they're so frustrated by it, but yet they're not doing what God is saying to do. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, it's put that cart before the horse. Okay.
Thank you. Exactly. I don't have to say it. But what are some of the things that we are conforming to that would hinder? What does conform mean?
Well, it's like clay, I guess. I mean, in clay, and you... moving it and molding it. Molding is a good word too. Molded.
Being
like. That's what I got mold. Or what's another one?
For obey.
Obey. No longer obey or conform to what? The patterns of this world. What are some of the patterns of this world that are conforming us to the things of this world?
Putting yourself first.
Ooh.
Pardon.
Oh.
Sexual immortality.
Yes. Immortality. And this is a sign of weakness.
Oh, just my pastor was talking. Meekness. Instead of power under control. Like a horse.
Pattern of his world.
Like someone or something, right? No, I'm just saying, like, there's a pattern to it. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, there's a... you follow a pattern, that's
anything,
right?
You know. And when you're pattern, you know, when you're making a dress, you want to stay right on that line. Because if you don't want, you maybe have a size 6, but you wind up with a size 12. Or vice versa. Well, for some of the ladies, I'm sure going down to a 4 would be great. They're being bolder. You'll walk around like this, yeah, I feel good. But this world is molding us and shaping us in its ways. Now, one of the big things I see happening in the church are being conforming. How about marriage? How about relationships? What is a marriage? What is even a person? Someone asked, well, you know, he or she is how I feel. And I said to one person, I said, if you felt like a jackass, does that make you one?
That's
and he just got, well, you talked about feelings. There's people in England dressing up like animals because they feel like
animals. What?
Oh, yeah. So feelings is what the world is conforming and trying us to conform to. And we can go on and spend the rest of the night on how the world is trying to mold us into their belief system.
Imitate.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Imitate. What ways, Jack, we see in the church imitating the patterns of this world?
You see your neighbor with, hey, he's got a new car. Mm-hmm. I want a new car.
Health and wealth and
making church a show.
Trying to be better than everybody else. Keeping up with the Joneses.
Okay.
Some people say, like, oh, it's just a little lie. It's not going to hurt anybody.
Hey, we had Rahab, didn't she?
Oh, no, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
It's
a big
really big
deal.
Oh, yeah.
Because Satan is father of lies.
Oh, very good. Who else? They're trying to cook again.
Also, they are greedy and jealous.
Smart kid. I think jealousy comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so the world, he's saying, I'm begging you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, sister, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Can we see someone that we know in the Bible, in the youth, during Bible study, well, they didn't get there, that is willing to offer their body as a living sacrifice?
I think.
Oh, yeah. I see. Are we willing to put ourselves on that altar and plunge, take that knife to our desires, our passions? The living. It's not dead. It's alive. And this here is, the sacrifice is what they call a burnt offering. What do you think a burnt offering is? It's a whole animal. Put your whole self on. No, I'm just going to put my leg on you. No. He says, put your whole self on that altar. And what is it? Holy, acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. And here we go. Do not be conformed to this world, but how about this word transform? What do you think this word transform? It's only used twice in the New Testament. Pastor, I know you know it.
Change.
Change. How? How will we change?
Change from our old ways.
Oh, okay.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, like a butterfly.
Oh, okay. What happens to a butterfly? It crawls up, forms a cocoon around it, and then all of a sudden, it bursts loose and it just flies. Metamorphosis. There's another word that's used only at the time. It was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there they were, up on the mount. And all of a sudden, he changed his glory, the light. And there's a conversation. And two others were there. And what did he say? Oh, let's build three tents. Let's stay up here. Jesus was metamorphosized. He began to glow and shine. And that's how our lives should be. Glowing and shining, transforming day by day by his grace.
Can you... Are you talking about transforming into something better, or could you transform yourself into something worse?
Good point. Yeah. Transform, okay, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Okay, there is a transformation. Now, we can transform into being something worse. But I think here it's conforming, not to conform to the world, but to conform more. You're like Jesus, day by day. There's a transformation as we continue to grow, as we take on. Basically, you know what it is, to make it short? It's just to hang around every day with Jesus. Being close to him, hearing his voice, hearing his heartbeat. You know, like John at the Last Supper, where was he? Can hear the heartbeat of God. We want to know. It's not a bunch of rules and regulation. As you're going through life, you go, hey, Jesus, what should I do to you? You know, what do you want me to do? I want you to go over there.
But still, sometimes we transform ourselves into a sinner. Is that the same thing?
I think he's contrasting here from the world, which we are a sinner, into something that is related in the new life. We are to take off the old and put on the new.
By the renewing of our mind.
That's right. The renewing of our mind. Right. And so what are some of the... How do we get our minds renewed?
Through the Word.
Oh.
Yeah, the Word, definitely.
A Word. And so as we continue to get into His Word, understand His heart, His Spirit, we're just hanging, Lord, what do you want us to do every day? And we have that freedom of just our lives being transformed day by day, that sanctification. And so when trials come, then we can have joy, unspeakable joy. Here's Paul in prison, and what does he do? He's praising God with Silas. And then God shook up the place because he wanted a Philippian jailer. He was rejoicing and in prison. He was praising. And that's a transformation. Now, we look at our circumstances of our lives, and even though from a worldly perspective, get me out of here, they were just praising and worshiping God. And God shook the place, and the guy wanted to kill himself. And Paul, stop it. He knew what was going to happen. Everybody else was listening. And so that's the testimony that we have, that transformed life, even in tough times, even in a terrible situation. I'm going to leave that because I already passed as far as I wanted to go. But I want to share this one little story called about icebergs. Yes? In the frigid waters in Greenland are countless icebergs, some little, some gigantic. If you observe them carefully, you'll notice that sometimes the small ones flow, moving in one direction, while the massive ones flow in another direction. The explanation is simple. Surface winds drive the small ones, whereas the huge, massive icebergs are carried along by deep ocean currents. When we face trials and tragedies, it helps us to see our lives as being subject to two forces, surface winds and ocean currents. The winds represent everything changeable, unpredictable, and distressing. But operating simultaneously with these gusts and gales is another force that even more powerful. It is the sure movement of God's wisdom and sovereign purpose, the deep flow of His unchanging love. You know, let's get into the deep waters with Him. You know, and it's going to be waves. But, you know, we can continue to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we won't be distracted. All we can say, Lord, got a good one. Surf's up. We can do it. So, just hang out. The key is offering our lives every day over to Him. Put it on the altar. Even willing to kill it. And so, how far do we want to go? How far do we want to be transformed and walk in God's will? Each one of us has to choose that. Each one of our own lives and circumstances, how God has shaped and molded in His providence, your upbringing. Some good, some not so good, like myself. And so we have testimony after testimony of the transformed life. And we may have blown it.
And some of us have. But in God's providential time, He'll cause all, some things, to work together for good.
No.
No. All things. For those who love Him.
Yes.
And are what? Called according to whose purpose? His purpose. So whatever you are, maybe have done that you say, Lord, I blew it. No, he says, what's in? I don't see that. Now listen, this is what I want you to do. Forget about that. Put all that stuff behind. Continue to look at me, the author and finisher of our faith. So he wants us to forget. We confessed it. It's as far as the east is from the west. He said, now move forward. I'll direct you. Learn from where you got off that, those body appetites that world conform you to, and be transformed. So a question I want to ask you, are there any things that you feel that we have to put on the altar for Him? Think about it. You don't have to say, this is between you and the Lord. Is something, is it maybe our vocation? Maybe it's our intellect, our knowledge. Maybe God wants more of our heart than our head. Well, I know He does. Once we get our heart in the right place, then He can use what He has given you in the right way that builds up rather than tear down. And that's the process I'm still learning, because I can be very, very arrogant. And thank God I have a wife that notices it more than anybody. And she helps. And I'm grateful and thankful that I have Gloria, who has helped me on that. But that's what she's there for. She's to help my companion. She's helped me to walk that pleases Jesus. And when she doesn't, as I listen, I go, So, just maybe somebody in your life, you have your husband or your wife or a friend, we're there to build one another up, to help in this process of transforming our heart and mind. Let this mind be also in you that is in Christ Jesus. Now, our minds have to be just like Him. So think about it. If there's anything you have to put on the altar, get with Him. Acknowledge it. He'll wash it as white as snow. Then He'll speak to you and He'll show you. Father, we thank You. We love You. And I know there's so much more that we can talk about. I just pray there will be one thing, just that one thing, that make us see if we're conforming or being transforming by the world or by Your Spirit. Father, please help my brothers and sisters. Help me to be all that You want me to be. And so we just love You tonight. Thank You for the opportunities that we get to come here to talk about You, to learn about You, but also to walk with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Minutes before we leave. Quick, guys.
Nothing. There was no.
Appreciate it.
Oh, that's nice.